Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I got in here about 4 o'clock in the morning, and as I got out of my pickup truck, I happened to look over in the northeast, and I seen that bright star, which I thought it was a star, shining down this way. So I goes in the inside, was in there for a few minutes, and came back out to get in my truck, and I looked over there again, and I thought to myself, well, that's awful bright and awful low. And I just kept watching, and all once I said, it's moving.
It's been a while since I last covered an unsolved mystery based around UFO sightings. I think the last one I did was the Warminster Thing documentary, which you guys seem to enjoy a lot. Thank you guys for the support in these videos. Today I am covering a much more recent mass UFO sighting, this time from our side of the Atlantic. A case unlike any other. A mass UFO sighting from all over Illinois. The patrons seeing this UFO, though, would mainly be police officers. These officers would chase down this UFO, but as the legend goes, this mystery was never solved. It was the early hours of the morning on January 5th, 2000, in Highland, Illinois. Most residents would still be in their beds enjoying their last minutes of slumber. Everything seemed as it should be until a man named Melvern Knoll seemingly noticed something odd in the sky over his miniature golf course that he owned in the Highland area. For some location perspective, Highland, Illinois is roughly 25 miles or so from St. Louis, Missouri. Melvern was a truck driver in the off-season and would be out and about making deliveries at all hours of the day and night. Melvern was completing a delivery at around 4 a.m., and once he was finished, he decided to check on his miniature golf course and make sure nothing was out of the norm. While he was arriving to the course, he noticed what he thought was a bright star in the sky to the northeast. Melvern Knoll would stop everything he was doing and observe this anomaly. Melvern quickly realized the light was heading in his direction. After a couple of minutes went by, Melvern noticed it was attached to a much larger object. He describes this object as being rectangular in shape and was roughly the size of a football field. Melvern also stated the object was tall and insanely massive all around. If you guys have watched my previous UFO documentary on the Warminster Thing UFO sightings, this rectangular shape was also mentioned in that case as well. Could this be a possible consistency between multiple different sightings around the world? Melvern thought he'd better report this to the police. He drove down to the station and reported it. He didn't want to come off as a drunk or someone not sound of mind with a phone call. After relaying further information to the police, Melvern stated the object had multiple windows that lined the side of the object. Each of these windows had intense white glowing lights coming from within them. When the object got close, Melvern was able to see a plethora of dim red lights on the belly of the object. Melvern could not be sure, but he thought the object was black or a dark gray in color. The speed of the object couldn't be determined by Melvern, but he mentioned it seemed to be moving at a rather slow pace. The entirety of this sighting would last roughly 5 minutes or so. This doesn't end here, though. This UFO would seemingly travel all around the surrounding areas. The Highland Police Department dispatcher sent this over to the Lebanon Police Department, who has jurisdiction over the area.
Well, I just received a call from Highland PD, reference to a truck driver just stopped in and said there was a flying object in the area of Lebanon. It was like a two-story house. It had white lights and red blinking lights, and it was last seen southwest over Lebanon. Leslie, could you check the area?
Officer Ed Barton would be the first to respond to the call at around 4:15 a.m. Of course, Officer Barton was skeptical of this claim at first. I can't blame anyone for being a bit apprehensive about checking on an alleged UFO that is being described as a literal flying building. Initially, Officer Barton asked the dispatcher if this was some sort of joke. They assured him they were not ribbing him, and this was indeed a serious call. Officer Barton proceeded to the call. He drove toward the north end of town, just past Homer Park. He claims to have seen nothing in the sky on this drive. He then followed Whitakus Road as it takes you from the north side to the east toward Route 4. Suddenly, about halfway down the road, Officer Barton witnessed two large white lights in the sky. Officer Barton would go on to explain that these lights seemed to be very close to each other, almost as if they were connected together in some way. He mentioned the lights were so powerful and radiant that the light beams reminded him of the Japanese rising sun battle flag from World War II. This intrigued him, and he began to make his way closer to the strange object in the sky. As Officer Barton arrived at Route 4, he began to go south, heading toward Lebanon. As he was driving, he had a clear view of the lights to his left. At many points, he would switch from watching the road in front of him to watching the phenomenal lights. He noticed the two lights seemed to have merged into one very bright light now. At this point, Barton turned on his overhead lights, thinking this may be an aircraft in distress. As Officer Barton made his way into town, he noticed the lights were now in an elongated cigar shape. They seemed to not be moving anywhere and staying stagnant. He guessed it would have been over the nearby town of Summerfield. At this point, Barton parked and got out of his vehicle. Barton noticed no sound of any kind coming from this object. The ship approached him, and he noted the object was not a cigar shape but a triangular shape. It was described as being massive, around 75 feet in length, and roughly 40 or so feet in width. Each corner had an absolutely massive bright light on each corner. Barton estimated that the object was no more than 1,000 feet above the ground. This would be when Barton radioed into Central Command, letting them know what he was seeing. You can hear some of the transmission here.
Be advised, there's a very bright white light east of town. Looks like it's just east of Summerfield, and it keeps changing colors. I'll go there and see if maybe it's an aircraft. It doesn't look like an aircraft, though.
There are moments where you can hear Officer Barton stutter and pause. These are the moments Barton claims the object suddenly accelerated dramatically. The movement was so quick he could hardly track it with his eyes, according to Barton. Officer Barton's encounter with this object would end as he radioed in the object would be in the area of Shiloh by the looks of it. Just a stone's throw away, 8 miles southwest, Officer David Martin from the Shiloh Police Department radioed to dispatch that he could see something odd in the sky.
2550, I see something, but I don't know what that is.
Right around the time Officer Martin said he saw something odd in the sky is when Officer Barton said he could no longer see the object. Martin was patrolling the south end of Shiloh at the time when he suddenly noticed the object in the sky.
I looked up in the sky and observed this huge arrow-shaped, triangular-shaped object just floating in the sky right in the open field right over here. And it had three big bright lights lighting up the entire sky just beneath the flying object.
Martin said he saw three distinct bright lights, all which were facing downwards toward the ground. He mentioned that the lights did not seem to be illuminating anything under them, though. Small green and red lights were dimly shining on the back of the object, according to Officer Martin. From his best guess, Martin suggested that the object was easily only 1,000 feet in the air. He thought the object would have to be 75 to 100 yards wide. Throughout the entire sighting, Officer Martin was driving slowly. His windows were also rolled down, and he could hear no sound emanating from this massive object. He eventually pulled over and got out of his car for a better look at this thing. At this time, though, much like before, this object picked up insane speed and took off toward the west. Officer Martin would note that the object went from roughly 15 miles per hour to easily over 100 miles per hour in no more than a few seconds' time. Officer Martin's encounter with this object would end with him requesting dispatch to call the Scott Air Force Base to see if they had anything deployed. They claimed they had nothing deployed at the time. Just a few minutes later in the nearby town of Millstad, Officer Craig Stevens was on patrol when he heard the radio chatter about the odd object. His curiosity piqued, Stevens drove around the town of Millstad, trying to find anything he could, trying to just catch a glimpse of this thing.
I've got that object inside also.
Are you serious?
It's huge.
10-4.
Suddenly, Officer Stevens came upon this massive object in the sky. Stevens would claim to catch a photo and sketch what he saw and created a report that he presented to the police chief. Stevens, like everyone else, estimated the object to be only about 1,000 feet above the ground. It was flying very slowly at what seemed to be a casual pace. He noted no noise was seemingly coming from the object as well. He watched the object head north. It had white lights on the sides and center, and a singular red light on the bottom. So far, most of the eyewitness reports have been fairly consistent outside of the lights and the shape of this object. The last notable sighting would come not long after from DuPont, Illinois. Like a few of the previous officers, this anonymous officer heard the radio chatter and decided to have a look for himself. No more than 5 minutes after the Millstad sighting, this officer was seeing what he claimed to be the same mysterious object in DuPont.
From the time they told me that Millstad had seen it, I drove probably about 5 miles down the highway and pulled off the side of the road to look, and another officer from a neighboring town came up and I told him what I was doing. We both laughed about it and made a few jokes and he left, and I got back in my car and went maybe a quarter mile and I seen something in the sky.
The officer claimed to have seen multiple bright lights, but this officer mentioned the object was high in altitude, unlike the others who claimed the object was no more than 1,000 feet in the air. It was apparently so high in the sky that the officer would never have even noticed it flying above if he hadn't been extra vigilant due to the radio chatter.
I'm not sure this thing, item that you said, it's one here appears to be pretty high in the area. When I first seen it, with binoculars, you can see the different colors. Now it just appears to be white.
This officer claimed the object stayed steady toward the east of DuPont. The officer states he did observe the object through binoculars, but wasn't able to get a clear look at it, but could tell there were multiple lights on this object. Much like the others, this anonymous officer stated there were white lights on the ends of the object and red lights in the center. He cannot discern a shape or size of this object, though. Now, there are civilian witnesses as well, but in the interest of keeping this video at a consumable length, I will skip over those as they don't offer too much more testimony to what we've already heard. From the reports and timeline of the radio chatter, we can pretty much piece together a direction of where this object may have been going. From the first sighting in Highland to the last sighting in DuPont, we can determine it traveled exclusively in the southwest of Illinois. The object flew right by the Scott Air Force Base and began to slow down around the Shiloh area. It began to suddenly increase in speed again around Millstad, and then began to change course toward the northwest. Now, I know many of you are going to be thinking, how could this alleged object that is so big, bright, and attention-demanding go unnoticed by the Air Force? Well, I had this exact same question, so I dug around online and found a Reddit post which had a very interesting interview with the anonymous police officer from DuPont and the Scott Air Force Base. The Scott Air Force Base was asked if they saw or reported anything from that morning. They stated they received no calls about the object except the media in the aftermath of the sightings. They also state no one on the grounds of the base has reported seeing anything. They finished their statement by saying they did not track any objects via radar since radar services for the area were provided by the nearby Lambert St. Louis International Airport. The base stands firm that they were not operating any aircraft that morning. And with that, the story of the Illinois mass UFO sightings by police ends. Or does it? With this story, like many others I have covered in the past, being unsolved, the possibility of more information or a solid conclusion is still very real. It is my ultimate goal to reveal these potential leads by documenting these stories that are otherwise lost to time. This story, like many other UFO sightings, does have its fair share of inaccuracies in the descriptions given by the witnesses. The biggest difference I can find is between the initial report from Melvern Knoll and the police officers. Melvern describes a large rectangular-shaped object, while the others all mention a triangular-shaped object. This could be explained away by simple deduction, such as angles, lighting, and obstructed views. I also have to mention that the color of lights and configurations of lights seem to vary between sightings as well. It is definitely possible that the witnesses made errors in their judgments and observations. There are many theories for why the descriptions vary. Some think the object could have been slowly changing shape over time, while others think there could have been multiple different objects in the sky that morning. Ultimately, this is one of the most anomalous and interesting cases of mass UFO sightings I have ever come across. There are so many possibilities as to what these objects could be, whether they're alien, human, or something entirely different. The fact that something is watching us from above terrifies me. What do you think happened that morning in Illinois? Did these police officers all mistake something? Was there something more going on at Scott Air Force Base? Maybe we will never know. But I will keep asking and casting a light on the unknown.
Being a military brat for 21 years and being into aircraft anyways, I can pretty much tell you what kind of plane it is by the engine noise. And then I figured I would call Scott myself and say, hey, look, you know, we got some pilot hot dogging out here, that kind of thing. And there was no noise, none. And when I read reports that the military was saying, well, if it was a B-2 with its flaps down, blah, 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 well, okay, that's fine, but they still make noise. I mean, that's the most, yeah, you can't see them on radar, but they make noise, all aircraft that I know of. And again, I don't know of all the R&D aircraft. However, all the ones that I do know of, they make some kind of noise.
Thanks for watching this documentary on what happened with the Illinois mass UFO sighting. If you enjoyed this video, please be sure to give it a thumbs up as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcast platform out there. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the swamp the way you do. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.